This is the John Gambling Show.
The message that they are going to deal with this in a serious way has calmed markets all around the world. It will help lay the predicate for long-term economic growth, not only in Europe, but around the world.
I'll be telling this story to my baby, man. I'll be telling this to my kid when he gets older. And it was awesome. It was definitely awesome.
The Tri-State's best news talk radio.
The Long Island Railroad, again, did not approve or award these pensions.
Benefit programs like the RRB's Disability Pension Program were designed to be a safety net for the truly disabled, not a feeding trough for the truly dishonest.
Now, on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Today is my birthday, and my father said I can have anything I want.
Good for you and your father.
So guess what I want?
A new brain.
Now,
here's John Gambling.
Does that mean that you think I need a new brain, Mike? Is that what I read into that little open?
Oh, what he really wanted was you, not a new brain.
Oh, I see. And who was that? Was that Mr. Couch from Pee Wee's?
Something like that, yeah.
Pee Wee Herman's house or whatever the heck it was called. Yeah. The mayor is not here. He is on his way. We are told that he will be here within minutes, moments, whatever. Wait a minute. Hang on. I got to open the microphone. There you go.
I think I might know why he may be a little delayed.
And what would that be?
We're just getting word that the fire department is going through Zuccotti Park looking in the tents. They just started just a little bit, a few minutes ago, looking for, doing tent-to-tent inspections right now.
I hate to think what one finds at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning, going open, pulling the flap back on one of those tents in Zuccotti Park. Man, it cannot be pretty.
Well, I believe they're looking for flammable items.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because you know that this is a cold night. I'm sure there were some heaters.
I'm sure.
And you know, I was thinking about that. I mean, pretty volatile situation. You start having people willy-nilly do their own heating.
No, you can't have it.
No, I know.
That's why the FDNY is going to be doing what they are doing. It will be interesting to see what happens when they start confiscating heaters.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm assuming that's what they will do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, these are tents. And if you've seen pictures or if you've walked by there, you know in Zuccotti Park that these tents are literally on top of one another.
Yep.
And some of them are actually covered. They have a tent underneath. You know, regular camping kind of tent, and then they have tarp
over top
on
right
top
now
of that, and it's all plastic. And if a fire ever got started, I mean,
it'd be horrendous.
It could be a real tragedy. So anyway, we will talk with the mayor about that. Did you see that Carla Nash? Remember Carla Nash, the lady whose face and hands got ripped off by the monkey, the chimp, back in 2009? She has been undergoing just horrific surgery to bring her back, and the doctors have been able to bring her back. In fact, she's been on television, and for the first time, pictures of her face are being revealed, and she did an interview, the first one that she has done on camera, to Sky News of London, which is an interesting choice.
Why Sky News?
Why Sky News? Now, the Today Show and the networks here in the United States have been all over Carla Nash, trying to talk with her, Barbara Walters, you know, the Today Show people. I mean, all the television people have been after her. And why she would grant it to Sky News?
Well, she has been on some of the network morning shows.
But covered up. Her face is, she's had a veil on in almost all of these. She has not revealed her face, but she has. And we've got some audio from this interview that aired last night on Sky News.
A lot of people tell me I look beautiful, and I never had anyone tell me that before. I just know that it's okay. I look okay now, and I don't have to worry about scaring anyone. I was a little disappointed, but not upset, because you can't control what's going to happen. So I can only hope that in the future, that there will be another hand transplant when I'm healthier.
Obviously, her voice is affected by the fact that her mouth is not a regular mouth. But I've seen the pictures, and she's not scary looking at all.
No.
I mean, she's certainly not normal or regular, nor the way she looks.
She can eat now, right?
But I don't know that she can or she can't. I don't know the answer to that question. But it's just an amazing medical success story to be able to pull this lady back from literally being ripped apart by that monkey.
What's also amazing to me is her attitude. I don't know if I could be that brave. I mean, she seems so positive.
The question I want to know is, does she have a mirror, and has she looked in it?
She's blind.
Is she blind?
Yeah.
Oh, she is
blind.
She
lost her eyes.
She lost her eyes. Okay, so it doesn't matter. So she will never see what she actually looks like.
Uh-uh. She lost her sight.
So that was her reference there, that people tell me I look beautiful and I don't have to worry about scaring people any longer.
How about this? I mean, if you had the choice, would you sort of accept death or just go on horribly disfigured?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think she can eat now. Because she was saying she's looking forward to the face transplant so that she could
They're talking about she would be the third American to have a full face transplant if and when they do this up in Boston at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.
Well, I hope she gets back as much as she possibly can.
She also does not have her hands.
No, they tried a transplant. It didn't take.
It didn't take. It didn't work. Can you imagine the pain and the agony that she has gone through?
Here's a question. Are you really you now? Are you still you once you change?
Sure.
Right?
I mean, I would think so. Well, that's a question people ask when they have a heart transplant. Are you you? I mean, what is the definition of you? I think.
Who am I?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I ask that question every morning, looking at who am I. No, but seriously, I mean, if you have a heart transplant, is that true? That is what keeps you alive, along with your brain. You're still the same person.
You're still the new heart. Right? I mean, it's like you're changing your hair color. You're still.
It's your spirit. It's your essence.
Right.
And so that, for instance.
But that can only be in your brain, right?
If you get a brain transplant, you could be somebody else.
Right.
When people have suggested, I do just that many times. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. JJ, do me a little traffic and weather. We'll take a break, and I believe, yes, the mayor has arrived. We'll get to him in just a little bit. JJ?
Mayor Mike and John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock here on a Friday John Gambling Show, we have found Mayor Michael Bloomberg, or I should say he has found us. Good morning.
That is, we work together.
Yes, we do. We do it the
as
best.
Long as we arrive together every Friday morning.
Exactly. Good to have you here. I gather it's going to be a cold weekend out here, and the question is about Zuccotti Park. What's going to happen there?
Well, this morning the fire department with the help of the police department went into Zuccotti Park, notified everybody that it has come to our attention that there are cans of gasoline and generators which are fire hazards, safety hazards, and against the law. And we asked everybody to take them out of the park, and we had a truck where we can take them to a place that we normally do. And if it's your property, you can come and get it back later on. And without penalty, if they just brought it out. My understanding is that everybody cooperated. We did send 30 or 40 firefighters through the park. The police department had their community affairs unit there in decent numbers, just to make sure everybody is safe. That's safety's our first two concerns, First Amendment and safety. And this was safety. We removed six generators and dozens, something like that, cans of gasoline. And First Amendment gives people the right to protest. The property is not city property. And so far, Brookfield hasn't complained to us and asked us to remove people, so that's not a consideration. But, this is... I will say, everybody was calm.
All the people, there was no confrontations?
No violence. I wasn't there, but I talked to both Sal Cassano, the fire commissioner, and Ray Kelly, the police commissioner. It happened the way you would expect. These guys are professionals, and they're professionals from the commissioner all the way down. They train. They know what they're doing. They understand the law. They stay within the law. They act professionally and courteously, but forcefully, which is what they're supposed to do. If your life were in danger, you want the best police department, the best fire department in the world to protect you, and that's exactly what we have. And so they went through, but people were courteous and understanding. I just drove by the park, and, there's a lot of people. Well, it's hard to tell how many people because there's a lot of tents. But
what about the tents? That for the moment, those are fine.
Unless Brookfield wants us to enforce a regulation that they have a right to impose, saying no tents, they can stay there. I mean, I think the real answer here is, as long as they don't take away anybody else's rights to say what they want to say, or to not say anything and go about their business safely. Quality of life is something that we do worry about. As long as they do that, then, you know, at the moment, it will continue. What will happen down the road? You know, we watch it very carefully. There are, when you have a congregation of people together, pushed together, there's always a danger of a flashpoint. We want to make sure that we have the resources there so that if something does happen, we can right away step in and protect everybody's life and property.
The cooking of food also is stopped?
I don't know
if they were actually cooking in the park or bringing it into the park.
Bring it into the park. They could cook in the park unless Brookfield says no, but you can't use kerosene or gasoline, and you can't use generators, which get driven by gasoline. After that, it's not, you know, the effect of not having it is not our concern. Our concern is if you had a building and you had gasoline stored or a generator running it, we would come in, do exactly the same thing, and we've done that. I think the police department and the fire department, you know, their only job is to protect the public, the protesters, keep everybody safe, and not trample on the First Amendment. And I don't think there's anybody... you and I used to talk about a mosque or things like that. There's nobody that's more of a defender of the First Amendment than I am. But, you know, the bottom line is the First Amendment doesn't... the courts have said you can't yell fire in a crowded theater is a joke. So there are some limits on what you can do, and one of them is if you're endangering safety.
Now, these generators have been there for some time. I can't quantify how many, but they've been there before today or yesterday.
We believe that all there were was six, and those are now out of the park.
So from this point on,
we will not permit.
If somebody brings one back,
we're not going to let them in with that. They will not be able to bring in gasoline or a generator. If they manage to slip one in, should be easy, pretty obvious and easy to spot. Fire department, fire marshals will keep a check on it. The 1010 house is right next door, and I think it was the firefighters and officers from there, a couple of companies who came in to do it. But, you know, they treat people with respect. People treat them with respect. And in all fairness, you can't complain. When notified about the safety hazard, the protesters voluntarily took their generators and cans. Whether everybody did, I don't know. But fundamentally, it was fine. And then we went through trying to check. Can you check every place? Probably not.
The vendors have generators. They have permits, right?
They have permits. They can have up to, I think it's two tanks of propane, can have more, whatever it is. But the fire marshals have checked every one of those and will continue to check every one of those. I think they've pretty much been in compliance. Maybe one had one more and one less. We've talked to them, and they are in compliance.
All right. Well, we have seen that in other cities there has been confrontation.
You know, I can't talk about other cities. Our responsibilities are protect your rights and your safety. And I think we're trying to do that. We're trying to act responsibly and safely, thinking about it, thinking about the implications. And other cities have different geographies, different numbers of police officers and firefighters, different training, different management. I don't know. All I know is that it's this administration's responsibility to make sure that the New York City public has the world's best police department, fire department. And I think we do. And I think they just demonstrated this morning. And, you know, you can make a big deal of it. But just think about what's going to happen today. Our police department and fire department will respond to hundreds of emergencies throughout the city. It doesn't make the news, but people's lives are saved and protected.
Let me ask you a related question here. The president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, Ed Mullins, says that he's sending a warning to the demonstrators that if you push back on his police, his sergeants, and there is physical contact assault, that he will sue a demonstrator. Or someone
I know Eddie's a smart guy, and he cares very much about his members. If he has a right to do it, I guess. You know, I mean, unions try to protect their members. That's part of the reason people unionize and have the heads of the unions. And, you know, my hope is that nobody will try to attack a sergeant and Ed won't have to do it. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the threat will keep people, although in a crowd. I don't think most people stop to look at the number of stripes on your arm, but...
Do you think that the possibility of a lawsuit in a police demonstrator confrontation complicates the issue?
Well, we still have open lawsuits from the Republican National Convention that took place here a lot of years ago. And I think, I'm not sure which the issue is. I think it might be still around, you have to process people within 24 hours. But if you have so many people, you just can't do it, and then people sue. So we're always cognizant of that. The city has deep pockets, as the saying goes, and people tend to sue. You know, the courts tend to be reasonable and say this is frivolous and throw it out, but not all the time. And so tort settlements for the city are very substantial. Michael Cardoza and the Corporation Council working with the police department, Ray Kelly, and the fire department, Sal Cassano, and all the other agencies have brought down the tort settlements, but still big. And it shows, sure, we're very cognizant of that. But the police officers, the time to do that is, you know, a lot of this, you have to act instinctively. And that's why they train. It is not easy to move up the ranks in either the fire department or the police department. It's a lot of study. It's all done by merit with big tests. And, you know, every once in a while, I'm sure they make mistakes. But fundamentally, the process has served the public well and served both agencies well. And, you know, it's also true. People always look at the cooperation, which you see every day. I mean, at almost every event, both police and fire show up. And their professionalism, training, we spend a lot of money on them. We have a lot of people. You know, somebody said, I don't know if it's true, but it was one of the Oakland, I think they had, used tear gas. I talked to a couple of people about it, and they said probably they just didn't have enough cops. We don't use tear gas. But on the other hand, we have 35,000 uniformed police officers, 55,000 in the department. Fire department's probably total of 14 or 15,000 men and women. So we devote an enormous amount of money to having a very big, well-trained and well-managed and well-equipped staff in both those agencies. And I thought, you know, the fact that the story of this morning, I suppose, is that there was no story. That we removed a safety hazard without disruption. Now, it's always possible somebody says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to march up the street and yell and scream. Stay within the law. You have a right to do it. Break the law. Police department knows exactly what to do. They'll do what they're supposed to do.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Put your feet up there for just a second. We'll take care of a little business here. That includes the latest news. And here's Joe Bartlett.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
20 now before 9 o'clock. We're going to see if we can take some telephone calls if you want to get online here. We're a little abbreviated this morning on the Mayor Show. 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. You and the comptroller of the city, John Liu, yesterday announcing consolidation of New York City pensions. What's the nuts and bolts
there? With the municipal unions, a whole bunch of union leaders standing with us, because the unions have 50% of the votes on most, roughly. There are, if I get the numbers right, five major pension funds. Each one has its own board. The boards each have their own consultants. And there's political pressure because of who gets appointed to the boards and all that sort of stuff. So the idea here is that you would have one board for all of the pension system. They would hire a chief investment officer And they would, the way the structure of the board is, that it wouldn't be dependent on when the administration and the controller's office or the mayor's office changes, all of a sudden the guy gets, who's, or a woman who's running it gets thrown out. But there'll be a lot, there'll be some less fees and consultants, and there'll be the ability to go and get a much more, get totally professional management. Having said that, the guy that runs most of it right now, Larry Schloss, is a very smart guy and has done a very good job. But, you know, if you could improve the performance of the pension funds by 1%, that's $1 billion. It's roughly $100 billion right now.
And the managers, the hope here is that the managers that take over will not be sort of political. And
right, you go to, there's always, as long as it's in, for example, a controller's office, there's always the allegation that the controller's doing what he thinks is right, taking care of his friends. In all fairness to John Liu, he's the stand-up guy here, because he said, look, this should be much more professional and it should be away from politics. And he took what's a big chunk of his responsibilities and said, let's put it in there. And I said yesterday, he deserves a lot of credit. Unions and my staff are going through with it. Everybody, you know, nothing's done by themselves.
It seems like a good business move.
Yes, and it's been something that I gather has been talked about for decades.
It just never gets done.
Now it's getting done. You know, now somebody wrote in one of the papers, well, you haven't solved the problem of the benefits being too great. That is a totally separate issue. It hasn't gone away, and we should continue to work on it. Keep in mind, there is a part of a state constitution that says if the legislature grants a benefit, even they can't take it away. But this is on the other side of it, and you have to do both. And the fact that we're doing this doesn't, or haven't gotten...
Yeah, that Long Island Railroad situation that was announced yesterday, it was uncovered a couple of years ago, it's an outrage.
It is an outrage, and, you know, it's apparently gone on for a long time.
Long time.
And keep in mind, I'm a little bit sympathetic. The MTA is a tough agency to run. They've got a good guy. The governor appointed a good guy, Joe Loder, who's got a lot of experience, a former deputy mayor, maybe first deputy mayor, I forget what his title was, in the Giuliani administration, but a key guy for Rudy. Smart, tough. And he had been on the MTA board before for a term, so it's not like he comes in without any knowledge. You know, you always have a lot to learn, but he's got comes in way ahead of what an outsider would do. And, you know, he's going to have to deal with this as well. But look, when you have big agencies, there's always a chance of somebody, in fact, the probability is it's likely that somebody does something wrong.
You could say that about the police department and the indictments. And
I mean, we have 35,000 unicops, 55,000 people in the department. It's a disgrace. If the allegations are true, the guys with the guns, ticket fixing, and until they have the day in court, you got to be careful about that. But it's a tiny percentage of the people.
Different subject, more pleasant. You were conducting the City Center Orchestra.
You know,
I did not realize you had that musical talent.
I don't think even after that people think I have that musical talent. I'm starting to look for another career after
that one's not the one you're going to
follow. 2 years, 2 months, and a couple of days, whatever it is. Probably not going to be as a conductor of a symphony orchestra. But it was fun. It was the Alkaline side. The City Center was built as a Shriners Hall. Mayor LaGuardia saved it from being torn down, turned it into a performing arts center. I gather conducted the symphony with about as much musical knowledge as I have. Maybe he had more. I think maybe he might have had more, actually. I think I vaguely remember in one of his biographies he played an instrument or something. I played 1 year of piano lessons and didn't.
That's it.
I loved the piano lesson the first day. The second day there was something called practice. Mm-hmm. Hadn't counted on that. So that's not my forte. But it was fun. And so we staged it. I conducted the symphony for the Star Spangled Banner. Now, if I'd moved the baton in the wrong place, do you think it would have changed what they were doing?
I think the professionals probably could have covered you.
I think that's probably true. But I watched them very carefully when I, because the last thing you do is you tell them when to stop the last note, and they were watching, and they did instantly. So I had some say in this, and I raised my hand, and I had them stand up for a bow, and they did.
I've watched others do the same thing. Watched your hand, and they've stopped. But that's what happens when you're mayor.
It's like Tiger Woods, you know. You can hit a 60-foot putt and have it go in, so can he. You can't do any better. He does it more frequently than you do.
Now, speaking of good things,
I thought you were going to speak about golf.
No, we'll save that for another time. Statue of Liberty's birthday today.
Heading out there later on this morning. Probably going to be pretty chilly. 125 years, Lady Liberty. A lot of people. I remember as a kid coming down to New York, and we went out and climbed up the stairs. I mean, you know, so many years ago. It was probably 60-plus years ago when I first went there.
And they're going to close it down, the rehab, starting next week.
Well, I wasn't sure. Are they closing it down, or are they just closing sections and you can still go and visit?
I think you can go to the island. You just can't go inside.
Okay.
I think that's what I read somewhere.
Okay.
So,
and they're having some fireworks tonight or tomorrow night?
Tonight. I can tell you that right now at 7:45 tonight.
Another thing sponsored by Macy's.
You got that right.
You know, talk about good corporate citizens.
Yep.
Whether it's them, and we have another Macy's event coming up not too long from now. A month,
yeah, the parade.
Yeah.
You can watch those fireworks. It'll be on the National Park Service, nps.gov/STLI, and there you go. You can watch it on their webcams. Hey, hang on. We've got a few folks on the line here, Mr. Mayor. Let me take a break. We'll come right back, and we'll get to those and some other questions as well. 12 minutes before 9 o'clock.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Quick reminder, David Gregory of Meet the Press will join me in exactly 1 minute. 1 minute, 30 minutes, that is, one half hour from now. I've got Mayor Michael
Bloomberg.
He's
a good guy.
David Gregory.
Yeah,
yes,
he's a very
absolutely.
Smart guy.
Nice absolutely. Guy. Does a good job. Yeah, because you've been on with him a couple of times.
Yeah, he's a good interviewer.
All right, so he'll be joining us here in just a little bit. Let's go to the telephones, Mr. Mayor. Got a couple of folk there. Let's start with Robert in Brooklyn. Robert, you've got the mayor. Good morning.
Hey, shootings have gone up, actually, 28% this month. So why are you, Mr. Bloomberg, allocating massive numbers of NYPD, including the Special Crimes Unit, to nonviolent peaceful protesters? And don't lie to say it's to protect their First Amendment, because NYPD has not been doing that, and they've been escalating tensions down there.
Well, Robert, you happen to be wrong. We have a small number of police officers at the Zuccotti Park, which we would do at any gathering of people. We always deploy police officers to make sure everybody is safe. Crime continues to come down in the city. We did have a spout of shootings for a couple weeks, if you look at it for this year. I don't think we're going to have a new record low murder rate in history, but we'll be the second safest year.
Again, a terrible story about that mom that mom shot up there.
These young kids with guns. I mean, this was an 18-year-old. He shoots from a roof and kills a mother who's trying to protect a bunch of children. This is just sad. But, people have a right to gather, and when they do, we provide protection. And incidentally, somebody said that, you know, it cost a lot of money. The police department's budget, something like $8.5 million. Our overtime budget, something like $500 million. This will be $3-4 million or something like that in overtime. And it's just put into the budget. You know, this is you use overtime because you don't want to. You can't have a staff big enough for every the maximum day that you need cops. That would just be too expensive. So you have overtime to have some fill in.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's move along here. We're going to go to Ralph in Queens. Ralph, it's your turn with the mayor. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Hi.
Why not try get the number 7 train or some of the Queens lines expanded into the Bronx for a direct route? There's already a train that comes into New Jersey and New York, the PATH train.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you. We need a lot more subways. The number 7 extension down the west side is paid for by city taxpayer dollars. The state didn't give us any money. State is, in all fairness, paying for the 2nd Avenue subway. Ralph, nobody's a believer in mass transit more than I. The number 7 extension to New Jersey is something that we've studied. It has some economic benefit. There was another tunnel that the governor of New Jersey said was too expensive, and he was worried about cost overruns, and he nixed. That's his decision. You know, I'm not familiar with the numbers. He's got a responsibility to the taxpayers and citizens of New Jersey. This number seven extension to New Jersey, whether it goes anyplace or not, it is another idea. But I couldn't agree with you more. We should, and it wouldn't be the seven line. There are other lines that you would expand into the Bronx, going further out in Queens, further out in Brooklyn. Staten Island has always argued they need a subway. They have one rail line that goes from north to south. Actually, there was a point at which they started building a subway on Staten Island connected. They dug the hole. They were in the ground. And then they canceled it, took the money, and put it towards the Verrazano Bridge.
Now, is there an entire tunnel there? Or
no,
just a
it was
section,
just a hole, beginnings. And then they just the very beginning, and I don't know if they filled it in or
well,
whatever.
Here's another idea. You could run a train, you could run a subway from New Jersey, if that turned out to be a good idea, across Staten Island underneath and into New York City and connect it up with
well,
the 6
you know,
or
listen,
whatever.
If you're willing to dig and borrow, you can do anything. The bottom line is mass transit's an awful lot better. I was with somebody, Ed Rendell, I think it was. Yeah, it was Ed Rendell, the governor, former governor of Pennsylvania, who's worked very hard in this country on infrastructure. And he did a study, if you get stuck at the GW Bridge or something like
which
that.
Which everybody does every
for
day.
For 45 minutes each day. And he did the calculation. It's something like 10 days a year that you are spending. And if you could get that 10 days back, just think about how much better your life would be. So his argument is when it comes to infrastructure, you do want to spend some money. Why don't we take a tweet or
go,
two?
Go right ahead, sir. It's in front of you.
Well, first tweet here. Azel asks, when are you going to repave the streets in Washington Heights? The answer is on Wednesday night. DOT, the Department of Transportation, finished resurfacing 181st Street between Riverside Drive and Amsterdam and Haven Avenue from the Trans-Manhattan Expressway to 181st Street. First time I was ever in New York, John, was April of 1942, and I went down to 181st and Cabrini Boulevard. I had a cousin living there. Now, I don't remember it. I was 3 months old. Thursday night, the Department of Transportation is scheduled to begin, like it was last night, resurfacing work on 155th Street. There's a specific street in Washington Heights. Call 311 and we'll take a look at it. But we actually are doing it.
You got another one there?
Yeah. Somebody asks, what are we doing to combat childhood obesity? An enormous percentage of our kids are obese. And
scary.
If you're obese as a kid, you're going to be obese as an adult, and that shortens your lifespan and quality of life. New York City is the only school district in the country to have an Office of School Health, jointly run by the Health Department and Department of Education. And so we work to try to improve the food and get it more exercise.
It's a tough problem nationally.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get whole milk replaced by 1% milk. We're trying to get people to eat fresh fruits and vegetables. And we're trying to get them to drink low-sugar, zero-calorie drinks. All of those things would make an enormous difference. And so we're trying to get the vending machines in the schools to not carry full-sugar drinks. A full-sugar drink has something like 10 teaspoons of sugar in it.
I've seen the graphic on it, and it's a lot of sugar.
It's off the charts, yeah. But, I mean, we're trying to do things to make kids get out there. In the olden days, you and I walked to school. Today, kids take buses to school. Well, you know, if we look at how much in a year that would save your waistline.
You know that, well, thank you very much for noticing.
mine too.
Do you know that there are some school districts, not New York, where it's against the rules to walk to school?
Is
it
really?
It's
that is
insane.
Crazy.
Hey, listen, have fun at the birthday party out there in the
gonna
river.
Going to be chilly, but looking forward to it. It's really a good day.
We'll see you next Friday. Mayor Michael Bloomberg coming up in our next hour. David Gregory, host.